السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والضحى والليل إذا سجى ما ودعك ربك وما قلى وللآخرة خير لك من الأولى ولسوف يعطيك ربك فترضى. صدق الله العظيم. Hello my kiram, most respected brothers and also our sisters who may be listening over the receivers. The verses of Surah Wadduha which I recited is well known. The Mufassireen have mentioned that as for the revelation of this surah, it was 10th in order of revelation. It is well known that the surahs of the Quran Sharif, which we have in our possession, are not in accordance with the revelation. Who does not know that the first verses to be revealed وَإِقْرَأْ بِسْمِ رَبِّكَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ. The first verses of Surah Iqra, they were the ones that were revealed first. But Rasul Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Quran Sharif was revealed over a period of 23 years. As the need arose, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala sent Hazrat Jibreel Alayhi Salatu Wasalam with the ayat. This wahi that came to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, as the need arose, it was sent. Sometimes in his home, sometimes in the masjid, sometimes in the battlefield, sometimes on a journey, sometimes in some other place, wherever the need arose, the verses of the Quran Sharif were revealed. But then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was informed by Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam that this verse must be placed in a certain surah, and this verse must be placed with a certain surah, or this surah must be recited first and this one afterwards, in simple layman's language, that is what we understand. That the Quran Sharif which we have now was the way in which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam recited the Quran Sharif before he departed, before he left this world. The door of the Quran Sharif that he made twice before Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam left, this is the tartib of the Quran Sharif. But as it was being revealed also, he was being informed, must place it here, place it there. So this Surah Wadduha, although we find it in the 30th para, but as for revelation, it came down as the 10th surah. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, it was receiving the wahi, and then suddenly there was a stop. Wahi or revelation stopped. Now there's a long history, but I'm not going to go into all the details, but the wahi and revelation stopped for some time. Now, as soon as this happened, those enemies of Islam, the enemies of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the kuffar and the mushrikeen of Makkah Mukarrama, they began to tease, they began to mock, they began to jeer and laugh, and they began to ridicule and insult Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They went to this extent of saying, قَدْ وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ, that your Rabb has forsaken you. That Rabb that you are talking about, who was sending down revelation, he has now forsaken you. He has forgotten you. He has distance himself from you. Abu Lahab, who was his arch enemy, his wife's name was Umme Jamila, Umme Jamil. So she on one occasion said, Na'uzu billahi min zalik, that your shaitan has forsaken you. Now surely such a kind of statement will hurt any person. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was going through a very, very trying period after the revelation, because now he was inviting them towards worship of one Allah. Tawheed. And this was something that they could not stomach. That must we give up all our gods and worship just one God? How can that be possible? We need different gods for different purposes. We need a God of life, we need a God of death, we need a God of rain. We need a God to grow the crops and vegetation. We need a God of health, and there should be a God of sickness. Now so many different gods that they had. Now Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying that leave all those gods and worship one Allah. He is the one who gives you life, He is the one who gives you death, He is the one who gives you health, He is the one who gives you sickness. He is that Allah who gives you rizq and sustenance. Rizq and sustenance, He is that Allah that gives you. You don't have to turn towards anybody else. Adopt the means that Allah Ta'ala has created, but Razzaq is none but Allah. Why I'm laying emphasis on Razzaq is this seems to be our major problem. That we think that our rizq is coming from different sources, so therefore we worship others besides Allah Ta'ala when it comes to our rizq. Now we will say that where do we worship it besides Allah Ta'ala? We haven't seen anybody worshipping his shop and his business, that he folds his arm before his business. He's a Muslim, he doesn't do that. We haven't seen a person worshipping his boss, that he goes and makes sajda to his boss. We haven't seen a person worshipping his business, that he makes sajda to his clients and customers. Yes, he does not make sajda, he does not worship in the fashion and manner that we understand as worship. But if you look at our yaqeen of our heart, we have made all these things also our idols, and we worship them to such an extent that we forget what is the hukam of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala with regards to that business. A brother was opening a business recently, so he asked for some nasihat. So I said, the most difficult thing in these days, the winter months, even for those who are 5-time namazis, and for those who talk about iman and yaqeen, and for those who say Allah Ta'ala is Razzaq, the most difficult thing is the Asr Salat, which is at 4 o'clock. We'll find many, many brothers, and I'm not talking about those who are forced by circumstances, that their masters and their bosses have taken upon themselves the role of Allah, so they don't allow them the time for making Salah. But I'm talking about those who have got no problem with anyone. They too, you will find just few minutes before Maghrib namaz, they are just making their salat, quick, slapdash namaz. Why? Because we have made those businesses, those professions, our idols. أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَى. So I said, that is the most difficult thing. You prove yourself there, that Allah is my Razzaq. And even if I close the business from 3:45 right up till 4:15, nothing will be decreased from that sustenance which is due to me. Yes, if he's got some non-Muslim staff, they can carry on with the business. But the Muslim has to make his salat at the appropriate time. And especially if the masjid is just on the opposite side or a few meters away, then we have no option, no choice. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was not just a reformer. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he was not just a reformer. This word reformer sometimes gives us a wrong idea and conception and impression of what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was. He was not just a reformer. A reformer comes into a place, he sees that things are not right here, then he uses his intellect and he comes up with suggestions and ideas and tries to bring about some change in that society. That is a reformer. And many times he makes mistakes also in his ideas and suggestions. Many people think up of many ideas to bring about reformation and change. But then they realize after some time that that which we thought was going to bring about a reformation and change brought about more problems. As many people suggested that the idea of to get the youth out from all the vice dens was to get them to play sports, to get together, to enjoy themselves, have some braai, have some picnic. Boys and girls, strangers, I'm not talking about families, family members who are mahrams. So they've got them together in schools, colleges, here and there. Then they started having parties. They started having excursions, boys and girls together. And then what happened? We had more problems than before. Abortions and other things increased. Then they realized. So a reformer can be using his own intellect and coming to different conclusions. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was not a reformer just in that sense of the word. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was a Rasul of Allah Ta'ala. And he was Khatamun Nabiyyin. Ma kana Muhammadun aba ahadim min rijalikum. وَلَكِنْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَخَاتَمَ النَّبِيِّينَ. He is not the father of any of you male persons, because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's sons had passed away when this verse was revealed. He is the Rasul of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. He is the messenger of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Whatever he tells you, it is from Allah ta'ala himself. He is a legislator also. Therefore, we don't have any option and choice when it comes to a decision of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. مَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا أَن يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ. Person does not have any choice left. Once Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has decided with regards to any matter, then there is no question of choice, because it's a decision of Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So much so that in another verse of the Quran Sharif, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ مِمَّا قَضَيْتَ ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِّمَّا قَضَيْتَ وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. Again in this verse of the Quran Sharif, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, taking a qasam, that none of you can be believers until Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, they cannot be believers until they make you, O Rasul of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, the judge in all their disputes. Now that much was sufficient, that they must make Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the judge in all their disputes, whatever is the dispute. Now we will say, how can we go to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now and solve our problem? We cannot go directly to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam has left behind for us the Quran and the Sunnah. So going to the Qur'an and the Sunnah, whatever decision we get there, that is the decision of Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So that much was sufficient, but Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says that, لا يجدو في أنفسهم حرجا مما قضيت ويسلموا تسليما, which loosely translated will mean that after this decision has been given, after this verdict has been given, then the person must not even find the slightest resistance in his heart in accepting that decision of Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. There must be complete submission to that decision of Allah Ta'ala. If a judge has decided in the court of law, and if a person is unhappy with that decision, he will not lose his iman. If a person is unhappy with the decision of a judge in the court of law, in our courts of law, then he will not be a person that we can declare to be outside the fold of Islam just because he did not accept the judge's decision, our secular court. But Rasul-e Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his decision was to be accepted at all cost. And not only that, but the person must not even have the least resistance, he must not even have any kind of doubt that this is the best of all decisions for me and it is the decision of Allah Ta'ala himself. If the person is unhappy with that decision of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then he's outside the pale of Islam. Now imagine all these disputes that we have with regards to inheritance matters, with regards to business affairs, with regards to marital problems, and with regards to so many other problems which are surfacing in these days. The Quran and the Sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has already decided in all these matters. All we have to do is go to the learned person and he will decide after that. He will tell us this is the verse of the Quran Sharif, these are the hadiths of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and in the light of this, this is the decision of the Quran and Sunnah. But the thing is that it has been decided, but how much of resistance we find in accepting those decisions. Everywhere we find a resistance. Why? Because our nafs has not been killed and suppressed. We have killed a lot of mosquitoes and we have killed a lot of bugs and a lot of snakes, and people have also shot a lot of animals when they went to hunt. But something that we have failed to shoot is this nafs, the lion of our nafs. And as a result we find resistance all the time. We don't want to accept the Quran and Sunnah, we just want to accept that which our nafs says is correct. What I was going to say and where we have come to, nevertheless, I was discussing this surah of Wadduha. Yes, I was saying that that's verse, the first verses which were revealed was of Surah Iqra. So in the same way, this was the 10th verse that was revealed. And in this verse, there are 11 ayat, 11 verses. In this surah Wadduha, there are 11 verses. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has got 40 words in this surah, 41, and 140 alphabets. Now that is another greatness and the miracle of the Quran Sharif, that every syllable, every letter, every alphabet, every word has been added and calculated, so that no person till the day of Qiyamah can make a single alteration or change. No letter or syllable can be changed, nothing. A little child who does not know one word of Arabic, he does not know the meaning of any one word, but he is a hafiz of the Quran Sharif, he will also correct that great Mufti Sahib, Qari Sahib, or Sheikh, or anyone who is reading the Quran incorrectly, or he has made a mistake, that little child also will correct. So this is the miracle of the Quran Sharif. So this wife of Abu Lahab, she said that your shaitan has forsaken you, telling Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he could have taken everything else, he could have tolerated everything else, and he was tolerating everything else. The persecution he was tolerating, the torture he was tolerating, the stoning he was tolerating, the jeering and laughing and mocking he was tolerating, even this criticism and condemnation Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was tolerating. If they called him a madman, he was prepared to tolerate. If they called him a magician, he was prepared to tolerate. But the only thing that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam could not tolerate was that his Allah must become displeased with him. Now the wahi has stopped for some time, so the thought is worrying Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that why has my Allah stopped sending the revelation? Because the displeasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is worse than the fire of Jahannam. Because we have become behis, we have got no sense left. Therefore we do not feel that displeasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala worse than the fire of Jahannam. When our Allah ta'ala becomes displeased with us, how many of us really feel a pain in our hearts, that I have displeased my Creator, I have displeased the one who is my sustainer, I have displeased the one who has blessed me with life, I have displeased the one who has blessed me with my sight, with my hearing, with my speech, with my heart, liver and lungs, I have displeased the one who is so loving, so compassionate, so kind, and so beloved and so caring. How many of us really feel any kind of pain when our beloved Allah becomes displeased? To us it is nothing. It is like one fly that sat on the forehead and we moved it away. Nothing. If we miss our salat, does it really create a stir in our hearts? Does it really create a pain in our hearts that I have displeased my Allah Ta'ala today? If we gamble, does it really hurt us? If a person has to commit adultery or fornication, especially all those who are involved in illicit love relationships, and those who are watching the porn movies and reading the filthy magazines, after having read that, after having seen those dirty, filthy pictures, do we ever feel that I have displeased my Allah, He in whose hands my life is, and He could have snatched away the sight of mine here and here. He could have paralyzed me there and then. He could have destroyed me that very moment when I was indulging in those sins, because these things were not in my control. But nothing, it doesn't hurt us. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, all the other types of injury and pain he could tolerate. We cannot tolerate the other injury and pain. And he could tolerate all the other injury and pain. But one pain he could not take, and that was that his Allah, his beloved, must become displeased with him. So this little delay in the coming of the wahi got Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam very much concerned, very much worried. And especially when these people started saying that your shaitan has forsaken you, na'uzu billahi min zalik. Again, one point was coming to my mind, and I might just slip up because I cannot complete this today. Inshallah, we will continue if Allah Ta'ala wills. But when I mentioned that the first verses of Revelation were Surah Iqra, the first verses of Iqra, so many of us, we take these words and after that we come to wrong conclusions. Recently I received some letter also, and one or two friends also came and mentioned to me. They said that we are being encouraged to read. We are being told on the radio stations and everywhere that the Muslim Ummah, the biggest problem is that they don't read. So they must read. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala also said, Iqra. First thing he said, Iqra, read. So now we must read. The Ummah must read. Now how true it is what they are saying. Is there anything wrong with what they are saying? I am saying the same thing also. We must read. The Quran is saying we must read. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying we must read. All the sahabas and the tabi'in, taba tabi'in, mashayikh, ulama'i haq, everyone is saying we must read. But then conclusions are different. Now when they say we must read, what must we read? So they must read the newspapers. Look at the world of difference now. Now again, don't misunderstand me. Our biggest problem is misunderstanding and then running to conclusions again. I am not saying to read the newspaper is haram. I read myself. But what I am saying is this, that is this what that ayat meant when it said Iqra? Immediately after Iqra, what did Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala say? Bismi Rabbika Allazi Khalaqa. In the name of Allah who created you. That means you cannot separate that from your reading. Your reading must be, of course I'm not giving you the tafsir, but your reading has to be according to that which pleases Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Now the newspaper, for what it is to be read? It is to be read by those people who have some kind of business, they have to learn, they have to find out what are the new regulations, new laws, or something to do with stock exchange if they are involved in something of that nature, provided those stocks are also of halal nature. Or the person wants to catch up with a little bit of news of what is happening in the world. Now that is about all that is there. Now is this the reading that we need for everybody who is a Muslim? Is this the reading that we need for every Muslim? And especially with the condition of our newspapers today. Because when I finish with the newspaper, there's nothing left after I begin tearing up all the pictures and all the articles which are not to be left behind for others to read, and neither do I read those articles. But there's nothing left. I hardly find anything left in that newspaper. And many times I have mentioned this, that will we be comfortable to tell Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, you're most welcome into my home. I've got the Sunday Times for you and you can have a look at it, which my daughter read just now, my wife read just now, my little child saw just now, and now I'm giving it to you because you can catch up with what little bit of news of the world. Na'uzu billahi min zalik. So it is not for everybody that. That reading is not for everybody. That is for those people who have got something to do with the society or in business, or, and they have to catch up with some of that. Otherwise there's so much of other reading to do. There's so much of other reading that you can do. There are books and books written. I'm not talking only on Islamic literature. Now that is again another misunderstanding. That do we only read the tafsir? Must we only read the Hadith Sharif? Must we only read the history of Muslims? No, nobody is saying that. There's so much of other things that you can read. But provided it is increasing our understanding of deen, it is increasing our love for our Creator, it is increasing our muhabbat for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is increasing our understanding and our recognition of our Allah, or the person, it is helping him in his business, in his daily life, or in the improvement of the condition of his family and home and society, then if he reads those things, there is no problem. And there's so much that a person can read. There's so much. So many different kinds of books have been written. Now we want to bring them all to what? Must read newspapers and magazines. And then what happens when they started imitating those people regarding whose lifestyles they read in the newspapers? Then they say, now the priests and the clergies and the people of religion and faiths must get together and solve the problem of immorality and this and that, and all the murders and the killings which are taking place at the schools and the colleges and universities, and the shooting of parents and the shooting of old and weak, and the taking of innocent lives, and the corruption and all the rest of it. What is it except the imitation? And then how much of it is truth in those newspapers? Even if we say that 100,000 Muslims have to buy the Sunday Times and Tribune, say 100,000 of the 1 million plus buy. They spend about 12 rands a week. So that's 1,200,000 rands a week. That's 1,200,000 rands a month, plus minus. Add on the other newspapers. How much did that benefit the community? Now all the reformers who are saying must go and start reading newspapers now, encourage every Muslim to read newspapers. Should they not be telling them that let us at least get this type of money and have our own newspaper? And I'm not talking about a newspaper like the ones that come out in which we have some Quran and Hadith and a few ayat. I'm talking about the proper newspaper which even the non-Muslims may be able to read. It is the need of the hour and time. Now where are all those brains and where are all those people who have got the wealth and who've got the some sort of say in society? Instead of encouraging them to go and read these newspapers, why don't they say that we are spending over 4 million rands a month just on the Sunday newspapers, then why don't we spend all that money and put up a press and have a newspaper which will be covering articles of news of the world? And just as the non-Muslim media has got an access and they are going into every home, then we promote those newspapers, give advertisements in there, instead of giving advertisement to those filthy newspapers. So it's not that we are against these type of things, but it is time now that we bring about a change in our direction of life. And that is the seerat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam which we are talking about. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give me, give you and the entire ummah the tawfiq of amal. And may Allah ta'ala remove the difficulties, the hardships and the problems of the entire ummah, and especially at present in Iraq, in Algeria and other parts of the world where there have been disasters. Palestine, of course, is an ongoing thing. We have to just keep on making dua, 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 and assisting them to whatever extent we can. There's nothing more we can do, because Allah Ta'ala will not change the condition of a people until they don't change themselves. Until the people don't change themselves, Allah Ta'ala will not change the condition. And changing themselves mean come back to the Quran and the Sunnah way of life of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.